The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's winded.
Keep it. Keep it, Jim.
Oh, let's try it again. It's Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. And this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 podcast. I'm keeping it. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, as always, Asa Gray, the five-star man.
Steaks and video games.
Allie, not actually a bear.
Hi.
And not with us tonight, the Big D. No. Boom.
Nailed it.
Solid joke. Dalton is sick or working. We don't actually really know. We just know that he's not here, and that's the important thing. So let's get on with it. I have a very important announcement, wrestling related, but to hear it, you got to go listen to the pre-show. $1. Boy, that's a shitty sell, especially when if anyone actually did pay for it.
Just for that
and heard it and just went like, well, yeah, everyone thinks that.
There was other things we talked about on the pre-show. If you want to go ahead and just. Yes.
There was a great conversation about old people on Facebook,
yes,
which is always a joy. Mm-hmm. That's legitimately a joy. I love seeing that stuff there. So yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there. But we are here to talk about professional wrestling tonight. A lot of big news. Well, okay, not a lot of big news, but some of the big news is truly big.
Yeah, there are some big stories, but there's not many stories.
Right. So let's start off with one of the smaller stories, because I know who Stephen Amell is. He was a pretty good Green Arrow. He's a fairly decent wrestler,
sir.
And he was an awful Casey Jones.
Sir.
Mm.
Sir.
All right. Let's jump into it just really quick.
You're causing fights.
First, you disparage the good name of Five Guys,
saw
Burgers and Fries.
Okay.
You saw that coming because there was a slight against me that you knew I would not let stand. So I don't appreciate your tone. You're supposed to be on my side.
I'm sorry.
Which one of us are you dating? Wait a minute.
That's a good question, Allie. Which one of us are you dating?
You're supposed to automatically side with me for no reason.
All right, 2 minutes. Do it again before we start the whole show.
Start the whole thing. I lost my train of thought.
Wrestling podcast is going great.
Five Guys is the best. And also, for what they had him do, Stephen Amell was fine as Casey Jones, but it is unfair for you to compare him against Elias Koteas.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
Because he is Casey Jones. Like, he was perfect in that.
He was.
And they didn't try to recapture that.
No, they instead they made him a detective with a buzz cut. Like,
I mean,
who
yeah.
never even no. It's, you know what? This is not that podcast.
No, you had your chance last week. But also, he was a great Green Arrow. It was the writing in that show that was abysmal. When they decided, like, the big bad should be his relationship drama, not any of the actual, like, amazing villains we could pull from.
Now, the DC universe is separate from the movies and the TV show, right?
Yes.
So if they did a Green Arrow movie, they would not get him to play Green Arrow, probably.
More than likely, no.
It's unfortunate.
Because it's the same thing with Flash.
And Superman. They didn't get Tom Welling.
Yeah.
Was it Tom Welling?
He was in Smallville.
Yeah. They didn't get him to play Superman, even though he was a good Superman.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But he's a really good actor. I really enjoy him. And he has signed on to be as part of I Have the Details Here.
Yeah. What is Heels? What is Heels?
Heels is an eight episode, or it's a TV show that is coming to Stars.
Oh, okay.
It received an eight episode order, and it is following Stephen Amell, who is the, from my understanding of it, like, there's a Deadline article that described it as it's going to be a drama about a guy, Amell, who is playing a heel wrestling character who is also the owner and promoter of an independent wrestling company.
That he is the heel character
of?
Yeah,
and he's, okay. And so he's going to, and then so it's following his life in the, you know, both in the role as a wrestler as well as the, you know, promoter, owner, and then, like, his family life and
so
stuff.
This is the story of, like, pretty much every indie promotion.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is super cool that, you know, they're, you know, there are, I think that this could be really, really neat.
I think GLOW opened a lot of doors, Allie.
As I am wearing my GLOW t-shirt.
As she is wearing her GLOW t-shirt. I think GLOW, as a legitimately good drama based around wrestling, did so well. I think that's going to open a lot of doors. Because most wrestling shows were not... Even wrestling movies have never been kind to wrestling. Like, even the ones that people seem to like...
The Wrestler was... It wasn't kind, but it was accurate.
It was accurate. And that's what I guess I mean more of that. Like, whenever people make movies about wrestling or TV shows about wrestling, they never feel like that's what really happens. The Wrestler was the closest. But then you have movies like, what was the David Arquette film that everyone makes fun of all the
time?
Ready to Rumble. There was a bunch in like the 70s and 80s, and all the wrestling movies are just terrible. And then the GLOW came along, and GLOW was a legitimately good show.
That got a lot of people that aren't into wrestling to watch something that was based around wrestling.
Right. Although, apparently, there's still too much wrestling for Bob.
Did he get to season 3 yet?
No, I told him if you really want less wrestling and more sex, get to season 3. You'll be a lot happier.
So far, I've only had one episode with a prolonged wrestling scene.
That's crazy.
But I think it's partly because they're working in Vegas now. And so their show is supposed to be the same every night.
Yeah, it's a Vegas show.
So they're not going to show you the same wrestling show every episode because that's pointless.
That makes sense. Yeah, you don't want to just like rehash the same footage over and over again.
Yeah.
Unless it's important to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
right now it's
not.
Also, just real quick, the write up, the pitch for the show, this is coming from Nelly Andreeva at Deadline. Where did it go? Heels is about the men and women who chase their dreams in the world of small-town pro wrestling. Set in a close-knit Georgia community, it follows a family-owned wrestling promotion as two brothers and rivals, one of them played by Mel, war over their late father's legacy. In the ring, somebody must play the good guy, and somebody must play their nemesis, the heel, Amel. But in the real world, these characters can be hard to live up to or hard to leave behind. In the ring, Amel's Jack Spade is the charismatic villain, or heel, of the Duffy Wrestling Association. In the real world, he's its hardworking owner, a husband and father trying to make ends meet while fighting to realize his impossible dreams. He has the mind of an artist and the body of a warrior, and a Steve Jobsian need for perfection and for control. He says he'll do whatever it takes to build the DWA into an empire. Will he go so far as to risk his marriage or his relationship with his brother?
Who plays the brother?
They haven't announced it. I think Mel's the first casting that they've done so far.
Well, hopefully they won't have him play both, like as a twin brother thing, because that never works out well when you get the same actor to play two characters. Which, side note, if you have not watched the trailer yet for Sextuplets featuring Marlon Wayans, go watch it. Oh my God.
I've never even heard of it.
I was on Netflix the other day, and it was, you know how they'll start you on like a Netflix movie? It's like, hey, check this out. And I watched, it was just on while I was doing stuff, so I watched the trailer because it repeats. And Marlon Wayans plays all of the family characters. He's trying to pull an Eddie Murphy, except he is not Eddie Murphy. And it's bad. Like, it's the levels of bad that I can't believe Netflix would promote it.
Is it the level of bad where it's funny?
No. It's so bad, it's bad. It's so bad. Like, when I'm... You know what? Just go watch it. I'm not going to spoil it. Go watch it. You're going
to
love it.
Report back to us.
Report back to us. We'll talk about it more on AD tomorrow, probably, because we got to have something to fill that dead air with. But in this case, is Stephen Amell still actually wrestling? Does he actually... Because wasn't he...
He
didn't sign to AEW or anything, did he?
No. Like, he had an appearance at All In.
Because he fought...
He had the match with Christopher Daniels All In.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the appearance.
The Dance Commander.
Yeah. And then he's like they've teased, like, stuff like that. And, you know, he had that match with WWE with...
Cody.
With Neville against... Cody and Barrett, I think it was. And he's a lifelong wrestling fan, and so I like the idea that, you know, this sounds like an interesting premise.
It could be a good show.
And, you know, but it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think it's really going to be a wrestling show as much as it's like going to be this family drama that's
like
just kind of in the that's just kind of in the world.
They'll show the wrestling that helps push the story along.
Right, which is fine. I mean, because if I want to watch wrestling, I'll just watch wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll watch WWE. Or if I want to watch good wrestling, I'll watch, like, NXT.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Hey-o.
Hey. We're not going to get to it yet, though.
It's a sick burn.
Yeah. I thought we had enough power for this whole show, but I think we're going to be kind of short. So I'm going to grab the power cable real quick. You talk amongst yourselves for a second.
Gotcha. So I have not seen... I have not seen the first, I haven't finished the first season of Glow.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard good things and I want to go back and rewatch it. That was when me and Audrey were going to watch together.
Yeah.
But my favorite story about Glow, and I apologize because I've told it before, but it's hilarious to me, is the guy that I was, so I got on a treadmill at the gym and there was a guy like two down from me who had his iPad or his tablet, whatever, on the lip and was watching a show. And he had on the first episode of season one of Glow. And I guess he clearly wasn't rewatching it because he wasn't aware or prepared for Allison Brie's tits to start bouncing around in that sex scene in a public location. That he was scrambling then to like
shut
it down. He almost fell off the treadmill trying to like when that popped up.
And he was yelling at, "It's a legitimate show. It's a legitimate show." But I caught Bob watching Community the other day and he started an argument with me again about who was like cuter, Allison Brie or Jillian Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's stupid. Everyone agrees. It's Jillian Jacobs.
It's Joel McHale.
I'll raise you a Chevy
Donald
Chase.
Donald Glover.
Oh. Well. That's a good one, too. Okay. Now we got that back on. Where is my mouse? Also, you plugged your phone into the wrong port. That's why it wasn't charging. I fixed it for you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Here's the big story of the week. And this one's pretty, pretty big. I made the NXT joke earlier because I was going to segue, but then I realized we didn't have enough power, so I had to fix that or else it ain't going to be a show to post. It was announced 2 days ago, yesterday?
I think so, 2 days ago, I think.
That NXT, did you hear about this, Allie? This new to you?
No.
No, it was yesterday. It was yesterday because the rumor was it was going to be announced on Raw.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't, nothing happened on Raw, and then it was just like a WWE tweeted it. Yeah, sometime yesterday, throughout the day.
NXT is moving to the USA Network in a two-hour block.
Yep. Oh.
Starting
September 12th.
Right.
Is the first date that it's going to be. So it's because they canceled. So, okay, well, first off, it is going from pre-taped one-hour shows to now it's going to be live and 2 hours every week.
But it is still from the same
place.
It
is still going to be broadcast from Full Sail, so that's not changing. They have canceled the tapings for the 11th and the 12th because those were the, like the 12th is the day it's going live. But if you had tickets to those tapings, then they are automatically moving those to either the live taping of the 12th or the next week's live broadcast. It will be on USA Network at 7 p.m. Every Wednesday. And then it will still be available on WWE Network, but it won't go up until the next Thursday. So it's still,
there's a week turnaround.
No, it's the next day.
Okay.
That's what it was. The Matt Fowler, who covers a lot of WWE stuff, he used to do the weekly write up for IGN. Someone sent him like an email that they got from WWE announcing that it was going to be moved to, so you can watch it live on USA Wednesday night, or you can watch it on WWE Network on demand the next day at 7 p.m. is when it goes live then. And then takeovers will still be happening, and those will remain network exclusives. Those won't end up being,
that makes sense,
on pay-per-views.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, it's like regular pay-per-views. Yeah, you put them on the network and push that. A lot of go into this.
I'm sorry. I got the date. It's September 18th.
18th?
Yeah, let me.
Now, this is going to compete directly with AEW.
Yes.
Which is a big thing. In fact, Chris Jericho took credit for it today.
And like the last like 3 days worth.
And Regal, did you see Regal's reply?
He's like, yes, you did it.
Yeah.
It was
this hard work everyone did, and it all comes down to you. Yes, thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't help but feel that Chris immediately messaged him and said, that was a good one. And Regal was like, I know.
Right.
I'm William Regal.
I'm William Regal.
So is Triple H still going to be...
We don't know.
See, and that's the thing is that's what a lot of people don't have information on.
And there's a big fear.
Because there is a lot of potential, there's a lot of speculation that with it going live and going to network, that Vince is going to want to have more of an influence on it.
And with it competing.
And especially if it's going to be competing with AEW, because like they have been treating NXT, they've not even really slowly, but like for a while now, NXT has less been... You know, the training,
the farm league,
the farm league, and it has kind of become it legitimately has become kind of the third brand.
Yeah,
and so it you know, make sense for it eventually to get this TV slot. You know, there were rumors going back when that Fox deal made that it would get moved to Fox Sports 1.
Right.
So, I mean, you're it's it definitely was I could see this being having been in the works for a while. But to say that AEW has nothing to do with this decision,
oh, yeah.
You have got to be out of your mind.
Yeah. And two things on that. One, talking about Triple H, I can't help but wonder, everyone, when Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman were named leads on Raw and SmackDown, a lot of people were saying, well, why wasn't Triple H in one of these roles? I can't help but wonder if maybe they had planned this NXT thing and he is going to be in charge of it, and that's why he didn't go to Raw or SmackDown, because he was going to be exclusive to NXT and was going to take care of it. And I'm hoping that's the case. When it comes to Fox Sports 1, apparently the belief was so strong from Fox that NXT was going to it that they were telling people that it was coming. And they found out the same way most people did, that Vince had moved it to USA instead. And apparently there were a huge list of reasons of why he chose USA over Fox Sports 1. And Fox Sports 1, apparently, they, from what I read, the industry people are saying they feel like they have egg on their face because they were bragging about it so much and then just kind of went the opposite direction. That probably won't have any effect on any WWE deal, but it's not a good impression to make if you're Vince McMahon.
But at the same time, like, you can't go... I blame Fox Sports 1 for that. Like, if you don't have the ink on the contract...
Don't say shit.
Yeah, like, you kind of... Like, you, sure, if there was a, if there was an agreement in principle that, you know, NXT was going to Fox Sports 1...
Right.
Then, yeah, that's bad on WWE. But, like, don't brag about, you know, you're counting your chickens before you hatch there. Mm-hmm. That's
Vince
rough.
McMahon mistake. Early or 90s WWE, when everyone was going to WCW, before he had written contracts, mm-hmm. and people were jumping ship, and Vince was like, I can't believe people keep leaving me.
Well, I mean, like, when he bought WCW, the name on the contract said Vince McMahon.
It said McMahon,
yeah. Yeah. I got that entirely wrong.
It's all right.
Can we restart the whole show?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just 15 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Let's
fine.
Just redo it.
Yeah. It's fine. It's a light news week, yeah. And it's not even 9 yet. We can restart it now and still be out by 10.
All right. It's Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. So this is big, man, because everybody wants NXT to... They both want it to get bigger, but at the same time, they want to keep everything the same.
The funny thing is, like, so now you have the competition, and now that it is legitimately competition. And I liked what Chris Jericho said, that the racers are faster when there's someone behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you were competing against someone, that makes everybody step their game up.
Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, except now it's on Wednesday, and it's, you know, WWE C-Show against, you know, a brand new wrestling company that didn't exist last year.
Yeah, but the C-Show has such a strong following,
I mean, C-Show strictly in the terms of
world.
WWE's yeah. priority list.
Yeah.
I think the NXT takeovers have routinely been better than the pay-per-views that they go up against. I think it's a tighter show. I think it's more focused, and it's just got better wrestling on
it. Do you think the two-hour length is going to hurt it?
So, for me, no. Only because when I watch...
Busy tonight.
Yeah, Broadway is crazy busy, which is unfortunate because, you know, sirens aren't usually a, you know, hey, things are great.
They're not noise. The happy noise. Yeah.
For me, it's when I watch NXT and it is only an hour every week, there are, and when their roster is as stacked as it sometimes gets, there's stretches where you just don't see people, like, at all.
Yeah.
You know, you might go 2 weeks in a row without seeing Velveteen Dream,
right.
Or, you know, the Undisputed, someone from the Undisputed era, or, you know, Pete Dunne's seems to be on NXT Prime now, you know, the women's division especially. It really feels like they only have time for...
Because you only have, like, 2 matches per show.
Yeah, like, maybe 3, but usually, yeah, it is just 2. So I think that in the perfect world for me, I like that it's going 2 hours because it means they can spotlight more people more regularly.
Yeah.
It also potentially gives a chance for the best wrestling that WWE puts out to be able to go longer as well.
And to compete against a show that's going to be very heavily focused on professional wrestling.
Exactly.
And action.
But that's my big down point. Is like, man, for WWE to compete against AEW, like, I'm bummed it's NXT because, like, I want to support both because mm-hmm. I like both. That said, I can't because I don't have cable. So, and I'm really hoping, like, AEW announces some sort of, like, Hulu deal that, you know, you can watch their show on the next day too, but I'm not holding my breath there.
I saw today, when you talk about you only see certain wrestlers, like, once every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, whatever,
mm-hmm.
is AEW going the same approach? Because they're advertising Chris Jericho for the fifth show. Mm-hmm. So that makes me believe that he's not going to be on the first four.
See, and that's the and like, I don't know. We really don't know how they're going to do it. They have talked about spotlighting certain divisions over, like, you know, okay, this is going to be the heavy, like, the heavyweight program will be here. This show is going to have more of a focus on tag teams, but that's always been in the context of, like, live events. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's one we're just, we don't know. We're going to have to wait and see on it. But I don't know. Because at the same time, is like, I miss not seeing those characters every week. At the same time, it kind of makes it's not the Brock Lesnar thing, but it's kind of like what we were talking about with The Fiend, where it does feel a little bit more special when they are there. But it's always because I know they're going to be there at some point, whereas Lesnar, it was always a huge question mark of, all right, well, is he going to show up? Are they going to use him? You know, so whatever.
You think it takes some of the stink off the lizard whenever they're out there every week. That's a new term I'm using.
It could.
Like, Velveteen Dream won't be as captivating, right, like if he's there every week.
Right. If I'm seeing Velveteen Dream every single week, maybe he won't feel as special.
Right.
But at the same time, maybe it'll just be like, oh, no, I'm getting more Velveteen Dream. Right. That's a good thing.
Do you think AEW could face the same thing where, like, if you see the Young Bucks every week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, Kenny Omega every week, that it's going to kind of take the bloom off the rose a little bit.
I mean, it's definitely possible, but like I said, we don't have anything to compare it to. Whereas NXT, like, now we have the existing NXT model, and we've had it for years. So we kind of, now we're having to adjust to something. Mm-hmm. Whereas AEW, this is a wholly new thing. So we're not going to know how those shows work and or how they feel until we're, you know, a couple shows, a couple months in.
My biggest concern is that they don't give NXT words for the initials. Like, you have All Elite Wrestling, AEW, World Wrestling Entertainment. I need NXT to stand for something.
No, but
something like Next or, like, New Extreme Talent. Nah, I don't know.
Well, they've already done away. Like, WWE is not World Wrestling Entertainment anymore. It's just WWE.
I thought WWE stood for We Wasted Everything.
Ooh. Nailed them.
Allie, you got one?
No.
So over it.
I miss the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
That
was the thing too, is it's like a federation is a thing.
Yeah.
That you can actually, the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
The World Wrestling Entertainment never made sense.
Not at all. World Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
These are All Elite Wrestling. These are things that make sense. Total nonstop action. That's more of a you're describing what something's like as opposed to an entity.
Yeah.
I am excited for this. The Wednesday Night Wars is what I'll call it. I'm coining it now. No one's coined it yet. I'm doing
it. No one's thought of it. It's amazing.
No one's thought of it. This is me, just like the Hammer Brothers. I can't even tell you more about the Hammer Brothers because it's so juicy.
It is.
But I think Wednesday will now become the night for wrestling. And I'm almost worried that Raw and SmackDown are going to suffer because of it. Like that's not even true, because the hardcore fans, the like really in-depth wrestling fans, will go to Wednesdays, whereas more of the casual, the dads, you know, the people with little kids, they want that old school, they want that WWE, they want WWE. They'll watch Raw and SmackDown.
See, I kind of disagree, only because I think that this is great news for NXT in the terms of the casual audience, because there are thousands, if not millions, of people who know Raw, know SmackDown, know WrestleMania, know the Royal Rumble. They have no idea NXT exists.
Well, it's solved.
Exactly. That was the story I was going to tell. Yeah. Is when we went, not this last time, but one of the times that WWE came to Cape for a house show, it was before Enzo and Cass had been called up to the main roster. But they were there on the show. And me and Dalton were doing the entrance along, and like no one else in the section with us knew who they were. Like, someone, like, even saw the Videotron where it said the S-A-W-F-T, and, like, who's soft? Or who's soft?
Who's soft?
Like, who is that? And, like, oh, wow, people genuinely don't know who these guys are, and they're, like, one of the biggest acts WWE has, kind of.
Yeah.
So, I think this is a great exposure for people like Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Velveteen Dream, Shayna Baszler.
Matt Riddle.
I mean, yeah. I mean, anyone who's on NXT now, like... Yeah. Is you know, it's good for them, and it's going to put a lot of, like, more people are going to know the names that are on that first week. Like, their Twitter count is going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
Their mainstream exposure, household nameness, whatever you want to call it, like, that is going to be huge for them, because how few people, like, they talk about, you know, the million subscribers the WWE Network has, you know, but they're pulling in like 3 million people watching on Raw and SmackDown every week or whatever right. the number is. I think I'm making
because
that
it's
number
network
up.
TV.
That,
it's
that
network
was the
TV.
Old number.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whereas now, like, okay, no, they have a, you don't have to have a niche subscription to wrestling to know what NXT is anymore
right.
and to watch it. Now you can see literally the future of, like, the company as it's happening. The only, my downside for it is I'm wondering what this means for the people who are in the Performance Center currently. So, like, not necessarily even the ones who signed from, like, the indie scene, like, people like Swerve, who have been doing it for a while and, you know, probably don't need a whole lot of conditioning when it comes to, like, how to be a superstar.
Yeah, more
of like
the little things.
The homegrown talent
yeah.
and things like that, because NXT, that was great for NXT, was to get them a feel for, okay, this is what... This is the production side of things. This is the
this
TV
is
side of
things.
This is
what a camera is. Stuff like that, yeah.
You know, or, well, I mean, and, like, this is the side hard cam's on.
Right.
Like, having to get used to something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas now, with it being a live two-hour weekly show, are they going to, you know, let people like AOP, who aren't necessarily, like, haven't been doing this for very long, like, is that still where they're going to learn, or is a lot of the teaching, quote unquote, going to move to the Performance Center and then maybe run different shows that aren't necessarily filmed or televised? Or
like, you think maybe there'll be a farm league for the farm league?
Yeah, like, is that where we're at, where NXT has now been promoted officially to the third brand,
right?
You know, kind of like ECW, but, you know, you still need people to learn.
Yeah, and all of their other shows.
And it's hard to do that and present it as a product. Like, and that's what NXT's always been really great about, is having, you know, ring veterans as well as, you know, new people
yeah.
to work together and come together. But when it was just on the network and it was, you know, pre-taped.
Just in front of the Full Sail crowd.
Yeah. Whereas now you're still in front of the Full Sail crowd, but you're live.
Right. Cameras
in front of potentially
rolling, yeah.
millions of people.
Yeah, and all their other shows, like the lesser shows, you might think, well, just put them on a lesser show. But those are taped during the big shows, like Main Event. Is taped during
Raw.
Yeah. It's not like they're going to get smaller crowds or anything. I would personally like to suggest Cape Championship Wrestling as the new farm league for WWE. I want to put I know I haven't talked to Jason about it, or Ken, or Lee, or anybody, but I want to throw that out there. And I think they'll be okay with that. Or they won't be.
I mean, I'm basically Mauro Ranallo.
I think you're a little better than Mauro Ranallo.
God, don't even joke.
Yeah.
That didn't feel right.
And when I look at Allie,
that's,
I think, Renee who? Like... Grandma spitting out a loogie after smoking a six-pack of cigarettes is what I think about her, you know?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
If Vince gets his hands in NXT and it turns into just Raw Lite or SmackDown Lite, how devastating is that going to be? Didn't even have to ask the question, honestly.
There will be a small percentage of the internet that just, like, cries themselves to sleep. And I will be right there with them. But that said, like, the majority of people who are watching NXT won't know the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they might go back and rewatch, like, some old NXT stuff on the network and be like, what happened?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That it would be... Like I said, it's all rumor. It's all conjecture. Like, we could say whatever we wanted about, like, you know, oh, the reports are whatever. But we don't know.
No, but it feels like someone hit the doomsday alarm. It feels like the sirens going off and everybody's like going, like, oh shit, it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we should be celebrating this.
Remember when
everyone's afraid?
Remember when Hawaii got, like, the emergency alert system that a nuclear bomb was incoming
yeah.
by accident?
Yeah.
We'll keep you updated. We got to move on, though. We got some other things to talk about.
Also, just real quick, too. I've seen a lot of people be really, really shitty to WWE about this. And on the one hand, like, I get it. Like, this is clearly a move to try to take away steam and eyes from AEW. Granted, they're not debuting head to head because AEW debuts in October. But, like, and it is clearly a shot. That said, AEW wants to be taken seriously and they want to be competition. This is what happens.
Is competition.
It's the same thing I talked about whenever they announced that the Evolve special was going up against the AEW show.
Yeah. Fight for the Fallen.
Fight for the Fallen. Yeah, yeah, thank you. It's just like, okay, no, they clearly are taking you seriously, and
And this is what you want. You want them to take you seriously. Yeah. You want to be a threat.
So, I mean, that, like, on the one hand, that's got to be a good boost to the ego, but at the same time, like, it would have been nice if they were the only live wrestling show on Wednesday. I'm sure they're...
If in a, like, comical world, it feels to me like Dale Gribble when he sued the...
the Manitoba Tobacco Corporation.
And they... until they showed up in court and he freaked out. It's like AEW went like, we want competition. They, bring it on.
And they countersued him.
Yeah, and then when WWE goes, okay, here we are. He just runs out screaming. You weren't supposed to show up. we'll keep you updated, though. It's going to be a good night of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's going to be September 18th. I misspoke earlier, but...
In other AEW news, I do want to mention this. Tony Schiavone signed to AEW.
Yes.
I saw that a couple days ago, and I thought that was really cool because I was one of the people that I always liked Tony Schiavone. The only time I didn't like Tony Schiavone, and I don't know if it's ever been confirmed, but it was when Gorilla Monsoon had passed away, and he was exceptionally shitty to, like, Bobby Heenan because he didn't want to even mention it on the air. I don't know if that was ever confirmed that actually happened, but there was enough smoke that I built my own little fire there. But other than that, I always thought Tony Schiavone was a solid commentator. I liked his work in WCW. I know a lot of the stuff was basically grass-fed to him by Eric Bischoff, mm-hmm. you know, taking shots at Mankind, giving away results, stuff like that. I think he could be a real boon to AEW. Him and Jim Ross both working there warms my heart a little bit. And, like, in a way that I kind of want to go to the hospital right now, but I think that's good.
He apparently also, like, part of his deal with AEW is he'll still be able to work with MLW as well. So that's
cool. What do you think about this?
What? I'm sorry.
Just say I have no opinion on the current matter.
I have no opinion on the current matter.
Keep that in your pocket.
Because it's not Taco Bell.
Yeah. Do you know who Tony Schiavone is?
I'm not making fun of you. If I saw a picture, maybe.
He was the WCW announcer during the Monday Night Wars. It was him and, well, I think at first it was Bischoff and...
Mike Tenay?
No, I think Tenay was with Schiavone. It was Bischoff, Mongo McMichael, and Bobby the Brain. Mm-hmm. And Schiavone, I don't remember when he joined in, but I think maybe it was after Bischoff had, like, turned heel mm-hmm. and did the NWO thing. But he was a good commentator. He was a good lead commentator, play-by-play guy. Got a bum rap for a lot of the things that he said. Because every show would be, this is the greatest night in our sport. This is the biggest night in the sport.
Biggest night in the history of our sport, yeah.
Yeah, and it could be a match. Like, it would be Psychosis versus...
Juventud.
Yeah, and it would be like, this is the biggest night in our sport. Also, I don't think Psychosis... He did work for WCW, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All those guys did.
Crazy.
Just insane talk. So yeah, that was very, very cool. Edge might be working on one last match. And why?
Working towards potentially having one. He did an interview where, and again, I'm just bottom of the barrel for news stories this week.
We'll stall.
He's learned about, he says in the time since he's had to retire, excuse me, he has, you know, learned a lot about his injury and the things that he can and can't do and things like that. And that, you know, he thinks that if he was given the chance, he could go out there and have another match. But it's, you know, not up to him. The doctors aren't going to clear him. So this is all like the way that I read it. And I could be way off base, but it kind of sounded like he was maybe fishing for, you know, one final match.
One more match.
Yeah, that was Christian.
Well, they're brothers.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
So,
but the, because he had that, you know, he had Elias with the spear.
Yeah.
Which on his podcast, they joked about how Edge spears him and he immediately wins the 24/7 championship. So they gave him that rocket strap.
He didn't win the championship. No, because Elias wasn't champion that night, was he?
No, yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah. Because,
I mean, hell, Candice Michelle was champion.
But Edge didn't spear Candice Michelle on set at SummerSlam.
Well, I mean, intergender matches are becoming a bigger thing now, so it probably won't be too long before
it could happen.
It could happen. It could very well happen.
But it's cool. It would be nice for him to be able to go out truly on his own terms, because I don't think, you know, the Del Rio match at WrestleMania 27 was his ideal. You know, like, that was a very late last minute, like, hey, so you can't wrestle anymore ever.
So we're going to let you win. Wasn't it?
Well, he was already champion.
Yeah.
Because he was champion going in. Del Rio, I think, won the Rumble that year. And the original plans, allegedly, was Del Rio was going to beat Edge and win it. And then it turns out, they found out, like, Edge wasn't going to be cleared past Mania. So they let Edge retain at Mania to get that big moment. And then, like, the next night's when he had to retire. Or like the next SmackDown, it was something pretty soon after.
There was something to be said about, like, the one more match thing, though, that itch of, well, I'll just do one more match. Well, I wasn't completely happy with this thing, so I'm going to do one more. And, you know, guys still going years beyond their career because they want to have that one more match. And they, you find a way to justify it in your head. It's like me with, like, pizza or Pepsi or pizza rolls. It's like, well, one more pizza roll. I didn't, the last one didn't really have a lot of pepperoni in it. I'm going to eat this one more. And eventually it's just like, no, you just want to do it. You're finding reasons to do it. You're finding excuses to get yourself in there. And I wonder if that itch, because Edge had to retire, he doesn't get to wrestle anymore. Same thing with Daniel Bryan. Hulk Hogan wrestled far beyond when he should have. Ric Flair wrestled far beyond when he should have, because you just can't let go of the spotlight and you can't let go of something you love doing. Especially with somebody like Edge, where it wasn't that he said, okay, I'm older now, I'm going to give it up. It was taken from him.
Right.
You know, and he, it's like Paige. It's like Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels had a career-ending injury, and then he came back and wrestled for another 10 years, you know? And I know, because I was alive during that period. That was my boom period of wrestling. I was the biggest Shawn Michaels fan, and when he had to leave because of his back, I thought he was done. He would never wrestle again. And then he came out of retirement and wrestled one match against Triple H, and then that turned into a badass career, a second career where he had some incredible matches. So could Edge get something similar?
I think he's older than HBK was.
Let me look up how old Edge is, because I think HBK was in his late 30s, mid to late 30s at the time.
When he came back. Because HBK was older when he came back, but I think Edge might be like older than that at this point. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Oh, yeah, Edge is 45. I did not realize he was 45.
Yeah,
I thought he was still in his 30s.
Yeah, no, it's because he looks amazing, for one. But
45 is not old.
No.
But for a wrestler.
See, it's wrestling. That's the thing, is it's wrestling years.
Yeah.
It's not how many laps around the sun you've done. It's your bump. Steve Austin calls it your bump card.
How many bumps do you have left on your card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would be cool. But again, it's that thing of just like, I, you know, safety first, precious cargo.
Life is more important.
Yeah. I would, you know, he's got at least one daughter, I think, if not more than one. You know, he's got a family. He's got to, you know, you don't want to lose that and, like, you know, permanently injure yourself for this one thing. Like, I don't know if that would be worth it. Like, especially as a fan.
Right.
I would so much, like, I would kill for Edge to have not had to retire. But at the same time, like, I recognize, like, I don't want him to come back if it means that, you know, something like that will happen.
Yeah.
Which at the same time, like, the healthiest person in the world could walk into the ring, take a bump wrong, and have their life changed forever.
Look at Drozdov.
Yeah.
Darren Drozdov.
It's wrestling's weird. And it's just like, I want everybody to be as like safe and like have as high quality of life outside of wrestling as possible. But I understand that that is having your cake and eating it too.
We talk about the chair shots. We've mentioned it before. It's like, oh, we hate chair shots to the head. This shouldn't be done. But then you got guys like jumping through tables, flipping, like all these things that could also potentially kill them.
Right.
And we don't give that any like any shade.
I mean, we had
but
that
a chair shot to the head. It's like, oh, you Logan, stop it.
I think it's because we know, like, now we have seen the direct correlation and how much quicker that can add up versus, you know, yes, Hogan ruined his back doing leg drops. But he did those leg drops for like 80 years.
And he's 490 pounds of solid muscle.
Right. So, you know? I don't know.
It's weird. Wrestling's weird.
Wrestling is crazy, and I respect the absolute shit out of anybody who does it.
I both respect and question. Whenever I see a guy like when I see a guy like Darby Allin do that backwards dive, the coffin drop onto the side of the ring, my first thing is like, man, many props to you for doing a risk. And my other thought is like, what the fuck? Like, literally, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, are you an idiot? Are you that stupid? So it's a weird thing. Allie, speaking of glow,
yes.
AJ Lee, you remember AJ Lee?
Yes.
CM Punk's waifu.
Yes.
She and one of the greatest.
I was gonna say, I was like, don't define her as CM Punk's wife, please.
I immediately thought of that. I was like, because I didn't mean it in an insulting way. It was just like, hey, CM Punk's wife. But then I thought, well, also
one, like,
of the best women's wrestlers of the past 50 years. I always loved AJ Lee. But I always thought she was a little too small.
I was gonna say, I didn't think you liked her.
No, I did like her, but whenever you saw her fight, speaking of Edge, like Beth Phoenix, you would just think, or you know, like, oh man, she's
or
so
Caitlyn,
tiny.
Or
yeah, it's that Rey Mysterio thing of when you see Rey Mysterio fight Brock Lesnar. If you can tell a story about how it makes sense that they would win, it's fine. It's like people that fucking diss on Marco and talk about, oh god, well, the first time Marco gets in a match, it's gonna completely destroy any credibility. If you can tell a story about how a guy who's Marco's size can beat a guy that's Baracus' size, or, you know,
AC Baby.
AC Romero?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could tell that story, then fine. Wrestling is fake. It's scripted.
Right.
It's entertainment. So I'm not offended by it. So I absolutely hate when people talk shit about Marco. And I myself have said in the past, how far can Marco go with his size?
Mm-hmm.
I have shifted my views a lot, again, over time and learning more of Marco can go to the end of the world if you book him that way.
Right.
So I apologize to AJ Lee for referring to her as CM Punk's wife. She was an amazing wrestler, legitimate nerd, and seems like an incredibly nice person. She is
best-selling author?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Best-selling
Crazy
author.
Is My Superpower?
She's co-writing IDW, which I'm a big IDW fan. They do Ghostbusters and a lot of the series that
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers. Yep.
A lot of the Hasbro series, yep. I guess. She's co-writing a Glow comic for him.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, my question is, I don't know anything about the Glow comic. And Ace, I don't know if you do either. Is it based on the TV show or is it based on the original Glow?
Well, the TV show's based on...
But it's not the same characters.
It's not the same, but let me double check.
Yeah, because whose characters are we getting? Are we getting the TV show characters with the Glow name, or are we getting the actual Glow characters with the Glow name?
That I didn't look.
I am so proud of myself, because that is a legitimate question.
The TV show Glow is basically the same characters. They're just like a little different, and they have different names.
And that's what I mean for the most part. Yeah. Like, are we getting Liberty Bell, or are we getting...
Oh, this is also not the first time Glow has had a comic. Because that is not the... I'm looking up because it was like available now. I was like, that's not right.
But...
So I am kind of curious about that. Because I could totally see it just being a TV tie-in. Because Glow is so hot. But I could also see it being on the original characters.
Glow, the show is so hot, people are going to know that more.
Yeah.
And probably be more interested
in the original.
Learning more about the original.
100% agree.
Okay, so it looks like... This is a sequel to the comic that was already coming, and that was based on the Netflix series.
Okay.
Okay.
So now this is going to be, this is called Glow versus the Babyface. It is a 4-part limited series written by AJ Lee and Amy Garcia. And then that it will come out in, Babyface also marks the return of artist Hannah Templer, who previously illustrated the latest Glow comic.
Okay. Allie, you probably want to track down the originals first, wouldn't you?
The new series follows the titular group of wrestlers coming face-to-face with a news anchor. They must put their promo skills to the test.
Oh, God, not the media.
They must put their promo skills to the test in order to convince the media Glow is not a bad influence on young viewers. Along the way, the wrestlers discover an entirely separate problem, a runaway who has been living underneath their ring.
Wow.
A lot to take in there.
Yeah.
So, neat.
I like that they're finally putting in the biggest bad guy.
The media.
I mean, well, okay. In fairness, though, like, it's an 80s-based thing, and it is a... In the 80s, it very much was children are seeing something violent.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's the entertainment and the things on television's fault for,
oh, yeah.
for problems
everything
in
the
society.
'80s.
Everything is bad. We just grew up with cowboys and Indians.
But this is too much.
And the Indians were bad because they were here first and, oh, God.
No, remember, they happily gave us all of their land.
Yeah.
They
in
taught
exchange
us,
for structure.
They taught us to plant corn.
Yeah.
And nothing bad ever happened ever. America did nothing wrong.
This
the
is the part of the show.
The Trail of Tears was just moving.
No, the Trail of Tears because they were so happy.
Tears of,
crying,
joy.
Tears of
no,
joy.
No, they don't call it. There was a book that didn't call it Trail of Tears anymore. It was just moving or something.
Like referring to slaves as helpers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the women's rights movement as trouble brewing. All right. Let's move on.
But it. But yeah, so it's a 4-part series comes out in November.
Cool.
That's cool.
Call them on those grounds. Sheamus. All right.
What about him?
He is working toward a potential return. How long has Sheamus been out? It's been since April?
I don't know exactly when, but it has been a while. Because it's been like his 10-year anniversary of being with WWE.
I thought he soft retired, basically.
And he kind of did because he had the same thing that Edge has. He had that spinal stenosis.
Right.
But apparently they had caught it early, and that's part of why he was in the bar was, you know, to limit the amount that he had to do in the ring to kind of help.
It was some of his best work, too.
Oh, yeah, the bar was one of the best tag teams going. And so, but he's apparently, like, dropped 40 pounds Like, he's looking
Oh, so he
super
dropped 40
jacked.
Pounds of muscle for more muscle, I'm assuming?
Yeah, no, so he's like, he's shredded, but, you know, he is hoping to eventually come back.
I would like for him to come back, because yeah. I was a big fan of Sheamus.
I've always been a huge fan, even from, like, his ECW, Sheamus O'Shaughnessy. I loved him.
Sheamus, I swear, was a wrestler that was so Irish, I thought it was fake. Like, no one's that Irish. Who? No one's that pale. No one's that red. No one's accent's that thick. Oh, it really is. Okay.
Was it Jesse that thought he was faking it?
Sheamus?
Yeah. Because there was someone who Jesse, I think, thought was...
I think so, because I think Jesse was like, man, his
Irish accent's terrible.
That's a
yeah,
terrible
like,
fake
that's
Irish
a...
accent.
He was like, no, that's real.
Listen here, fella.
Yeah.
that's a real accent. That'll be good. I want that to happen. And I think that's it. Oh, no, one more. So the next set of AEW TV tapings are sold out.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Is AEW not running live? When they go to TNT?
No, I think it's I say TV tapings, but it's like their broadcasts are
okay.
sold out.
Well, yeah, because when I hear TV tapings, sure. I think to myself, oh, so it's taped ahead of time?
And now
that would be a bad mistake in this day and age.
Yeah,
because you remember what WCW used to do to WWF? They would give away the results for WWF shows mm-hmm. during WCW. In fact, that's part of what turned the tide because
they
stupidly said that Mick Foley was going to win the title, and everyone, you could hear the clicks of everyone switching over to WWF.
I'm going to double check. I am 99% sure that AEW is broadcasting live.
With Tony Khan's money, why would they not be?
Yeah, but
that's stupid.
But they're also going to, they're running in smaller venues though, which is smart. Like I would rather.
You don't want to go to the Cow Palace your first week.
They would rather sell out a 7,000 seat arena than sell 8,000 tickets in a 20,000 seat arena.
So they don't want to look like SmackDown now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
I can't see where it's Wednesdays in October. I keep seeing the dates, but I can't see if it's AEW will begin airing live weekly shows on TNT beginning Wednesday, October 2nd. Okay. From 8 to 10 p.m.
Cool. So, all right. That's good. That's good. Yeah. 8 to 10 p.m. Central?
Eastern. So 7 to 9.
I know you're looking at me like, why are you bringing that up? But that's important.
Yeah, no. Because, I mean, because NXT, same thing. Is it's same time. Like,
right.
They're running. It's not like there's the staggered thing. But yeah, AEW is running live. I put that as tapings. But, like, their first... Now three live shows will all be in sold out arenas.
Right, right.
And more coming, I'm sure, down the line.
It's a wording thing.
Because that was just, and then the wording made me question the knowledge that I already knew.
It's like when people come in and say, I want to get rid of this stuff. And I go, oh, you want to trade that in? And they say, oh, no, I want cash. I know, just trade in is
right.
The preferred term.
Yeah.
That's it for the news of the week. Now we've got some recaps here to do. Let's start with Monday Night Raw. That was on Monday.
Since when? That doesn't sound right.
Are you sure?
I think we watched a couple of clips from this.
Clicks.
And I don't remember much about it. I know The Fiend attacked Jerry Lawler, which
yeah.
I really liked because Lawler, give him credit. Because I know we've all given Lawler shit, and he is who he is. But the fact that he got out of the ring.
He was like, no, I know what this means.
That was cool. I like that.
And it.
Uh-oh.
My only problem with
he
it.
He was slow to respond.
The only problem I have with it. And somewhere else that I saw, like when I was reading the recap, said the same thing, was so he leaves the ring to go to the stage.
And then stand there.
And stand to his back to it.
Right. Like,
yeah, I didn't think about that.
That I mean, but at the same time, like it gave it a good look. It gave it a good dynamic. Like it looked different than just like the wrestling trope of I'm just going to look around and I have no idea what could possibly happen
yeah.
next. Like, so I did like that.
Also, the angle that they used for when the Fiend like creeps out from behind him
mm-hmm.
looked like a horror movie.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Legitimately looked like a horror movie. Looked like it.
The Fiend continues to be the coolest thing in professional wrestling.
Yes.
Like just.
Yes.
And then he'll go and apologize on Twitter the next day. Bray Wyatt will apologize.
Like,
he apologized to Lawler.
Sorry for what I did.
Yeah. The Fiend's crazy.
Did you see that? Did you see that?
That's how it sounds.
Code Orange's version of his entrance song has cracked like top 40 downloads and listens on like UK Spotify, UK iTunes.
Oh, I didn't know it was on Spotify. I'll have to add.
Yeah, it's on Spotify. Because and it does the full intro too. Not the Firefly doesn't have the Firefly Hunt Funhouse, but
damn.
It is. It includes like the heavy breathing and the Let Me In
right.
before it kicks in, and then the end of it is like a looped kind of like I'm sorry for what I did. like Bray Wyatt saying it, it's creepy as hell, and I love it.
Bray Wyatt is just laughing all the way to the bank right now because we wrote him off.
They're going to tone him down for the children.
Well, that's what I've heard. But I also heard they should fire their sources.
Yeah. I love Bray Wyatt.
I just, please keep the lantern. Yeah. Please keep, don't get rid of the lantern.
I've seen memes with the lantern that, I forget, I think one of them was like, when the person won't stop talking, and it's just a picture of the lantern.
Speaking of lantern, did you see that Toy Bomb? I think Toy Bomb posted it about the Predator Yellow Lantern.
Yellow Lantern Predator to go Holy with the shit. Joker Xenomorph.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that one?
No. Oh, we'll talk after the show.
Let's go to the Toy Bombs page now.
I also know that, let's just jump into the what I think is the biggest thing from Raw, that we have new tag champions.
Yep.
Baffling. I don't understand why. What a waste. They put the title on Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman.
Yep. So now Seth is a 3-time dual champion, which is cool. Like, and that's a cool statistic.
Like, I get it. Seth is a great
and
talent.
I kind of like the story that he's telling with Braun, but at the same time, like, man, you were finally giving the OGs or the OC or whatever they're called, like, some steam, some momentum. You know, 3 champions in the group, like, that's awesome. And now for what? And don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure they'll win the championships back on, like, this Monday or next Monday, whatever.
Because Seth and Braun won't be able to get along, and that'll set up the program.
And that'll set up the feud.
One-on-one, yeah.
So, I don't know. But, yeah.
It just feels like a waste. And I agree with you. The OC, Gallows and Anderson, finally, like, after so long, they finally felt like they had something for them. And the cynical part of me thought, like, oh, they must have signed their deals. And now we can just take the titles away from them. F them.
I feel like we've had this exact same talk about the Revival.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Like, ugh. Other stuff. Cedric Alexander and Samoa Joe advanced in the King of the Ring tournament.
That's cool.
They won their matches.
So far, my brackets are right. I meant to post them after that wonderful gentleman posted them to us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I meant to post mine. And I forgot, but they were both on it. And I read SmackDown. So far, I'm 100% on the batting.
Isn't that convenient?
Isn't that obvious?
You didn't think Apollo Crews was going to beat Andrade?
It was close. 55-45.
One of the things that I'm enjoying a lot more than I thought I would, which, like, it's chocolate and peanut butter. Like, of course I would like this. Hashtag FTRKO. It's the Revival and Randy Orton teaming up. They had a pretty vicious beatdown on Xavier Woods. Vicious.
Because Woods is injured, right?
They storyline injured him.
Oh, so he's not
from
really
Monday.
Injured.
Yeah. Okay. As far as I know, he's not actually hurt. But they had the cool like 3-man 3D, but it was the Revival lifting up Kofi, or no, it was Woods lifting both of them, lifting him up and dropping him into the RKO. Like, that just looked super cool. I love them as a unit so far. Like, I'm just super into it.
At least they're doing something with them.
And then the thing that I assumed you would want to talk about from Raw the most.
Was it Sasha and Natalya? Yeah. Kind of, because here we go again with, let's bring up someone's dead relatives and use them as a prop in the storyline. Sasha told Natalya that her dad was in hell. And
No. To be fair. She said, go to hell and tell your daddy hi.
That's the same thing. That's how I inferred it. I don't know where to start with this. There's a reason that when Sasha beat up Natalya last week, the fans cheered and chanted, thank you, Sasha. And it's shit like this that can really turn people against it. Like, it's bad enough that you have Natalya go out there. And I truly believe that some of the things she said about her dad when she was doing, like, dedication stuff was legitimate, because obviously it's her father and she respects him and loves him and misses him. He passed away. Very sad. He was a wrestling personality. But when you had her go out and do it and the fans were chanting boring, and then you have Sasha go out and reference her dad being in hell and saying you can join him, like, this just gives me Eddie Guerrero vibes over again.
Yeah.
Not quite as bad yet. But, like, how far are they going to take it? When you've got Sasha Banks, who just came back, is hot as fire, you don't have to go to this level to get her over. She's already over.
This
feels tacked on and tasteless.
Yeah, this is the Carny bullshit that, like, really needed to stay in the Attitude Era.
Agreed.
Like, it's unnecessary. It's not working.
No.
Clearly. And, like, and that said, did you see Becky's promo?
I didn't see Becky's, no.
Becky's promo was awesome. Like, that's how you should be building it. And then you have Sasha kind of being the aloof, you know, whatever. You know, how could you do that? Thank you for your time. And she just walks off. Like, that all works. You don't need to involve that. Like, if you want to have her attack Natalia, fine. But, like, dragging her dad's name into it, it's just, it's unnecessary.
And plus, it's bad writing. If you really wanted to make an impact with Sasha and Natalia's dad, don't have her say, when you get to hell, tell your dad I said hi. You could just have Sasha go out and say, like, I don't give a shit about you or your dead dad. Like, I'm tired of hearing you talk about him. And you could have her be insulting without being, like, over the top insulting.
I don't know. See, even that is, like, unnecessary. But maybe it's just because...
Well, it's all unnecessary.
But at the same time, like, what was Natalia... So, aside from this Becky Lynch match, do you remember what her last, like, big feud was?
Natalia?
Yeah.
She was Ronda Rousey's second. Mm-hmm. That's all I remember.
Do you remember the Riot Squad? And the table with the fat head?
Yeah.
And, like, they broke her dad's glasses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, Natalia's character is just, like, she Daddy misses issues. Her dad.
Right.
Like, she's sad her dad's dead.
That's a good character.
Yeah, like, what are you doing, man?
That's for a woman that has been in the business for so long and is so good and is...
And was kind of a cornerstone at the low, like, at the lowest point of women's wrestling being taken seriously. Like, she was there. She was kind
she
of
really
the bedrock.
She really was on the front lines, yeah.
Like, how many times, like, how many people did she have to carry through, like...
How many times did you hear the women's division, especially against, like, TNA, the women's division in WWE is awful. Well, except Natalia.
Right.
They have
Natalia.
It was,
like, Natalia and Beth Phoenix.
Right.
And then, you know, everyone, you'd have, like, AJ Lee and Caitlyn. And...
Yeah, it's completely unnecessary. I did want to talk about it. I also didn't want to talk about it because I'm just sick of stuff like that.
And that's fine.
There's no reason to do it. Sasha Banks doesn't need it. Natalia doesn't need it. And Jim Neidhart, like, I hate the explanation of, like, no, they'd be fine with it because they're in the business. They wouldn't mind. They're in the business, but they probably want the storyline to at least make sense. Mm-hmm. Why does Sasha Banks hate Natalia so much that she tells, she makes fun of her dead dad?
Because she's got blue hair now. Which I did kind of enjoy that.
I'm fucking done.
I did.
I'm turning my mic off and I'm going home.
Didn't you see her take her wig off?
Yeah.
I will say I did I did kind of enjoy that interview where they were talking about, like, so you attacked Natalia. She's like, I know everybody is loving my hair. Like, that's all she wanted to talk about was her hair. Like, I kind of,
that's
a heel,
funny.
Like, that's good. I like that. But yeah, that's all I had from Raw. SmackDown had some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, yeah. So SmackDown, something I really loved happened on there. Buddy Murphy.
Yes.
Can we just give it up for Buddy Murphy?
Hell yeah.
Like, that dude is killing it right
Best
now.
Best kept secret.
The fact that, if the
except
rumors are true.
Except for the fact that he, like, came out to no reaction, which was a bummer. But hopefully
it's
after,
a slow build.
After his match with Roman and then this match with Daniel.
Right.
Brian that he had.
People are,
like,
going to take it more seriously.
People will start being excited. Except for the fact that, like, he's a great wrestler, but he's a little bitch backstage.
His character is that he's a snitch.
He just gets thrown around and, like.
But I'm hoping that Roman will kind of, like. He'll get the Roman rub.
Yeah.
Him and Roman will tag team against Rowan and Bryan or something like that. That's like Cedric Alexander with on Raw, you know? I'm really hoping for that because Buddy's doing such a great job.
Yeah.
I couldn't be happier for him. And a lot of people are jumping on that bandwagon. Mick Foley posted about, like, where has this guy been? You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's really cool to see someone get that rub.
Yeah. And he advanced in the King of the Ring final or
and
King
of
the Ring
tournament. Daniel Bryan.
Beating Daniel Bryan.
Did he beat him clean as a whistle? Well, not clean as a. Did he
no,
beat
yeah,
him
it was
clean?
Clean? It was clean.
He, all right, Allie, think about this. I'm being serious. Buddy Murphy beat Daniel Bryan clean. How huge is that for a guy's career?
Especially, you know, coming off of, like, that really great match, really competitive match with Roman last week.
They're giving him fire.
Yeah.
And
so
he's swallowing
I hope
the fire.
I hope it's good for, like, it's a sign for, you know, good stuff for him in the future. We also got Bayley Charlotte confrontation. Charlotte was on Moment of Bliss, established herself as, like, you know, I beat Trish, so I am the queen of all eras. And then Bayley came out and was like, yeah, but you're not the champion. So that's setting up the Clash of Champions match. That's fine.
I hate that I dislike Charlotte. I hate that when Charlotte's on TV, I want to turn the channel because I know how good she is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about the way, maybe she was booked so strong. It's that if I had grown up, and if I had grown up before the 80s and I was this age when the Hogan era started and, you know, that stuff, I would have probably hated Hogan and been like, my God, why does he win all the time? John Cena, why does he win all the time? Roman Reigns. With Charlotte, she was built as so important, it almost makes me hate her, but not in a good way. And it's of no fault of hers because she's that good.
Yeah.
Damn me.
No, she is really good. It's also, they've kind of bungled Bayley's character. Like, she ended up shoving her off of the chair, which is very
not Bailey
thing to do, really. But
well, remember, she was turned into a bad girl there for a little while. And didn't she wear, like, two ponytails or something? Or she had, like, a skull scrunchie?
That's called pigtails, and it's actually, like, a downgrade.
I don't know, it's... I'm fine if they give Bailey a little bit more of an edge, but this is more of, like, the, like... a child thinking they're being edgy. I don't know. It's it's not clicking, but there's plenty of time for this to, you know, really...
really suck.
The build, whatever. Like, I'm excited for the match.
Yeah, it'll be a good
match. Like, the match will be amazing.
As long as Charlotte doesn't win.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Bailey needs it more.
Because Bailey's run kind of feels like it's all just been stalling to put the belt back on Charlotte.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, like, at least Bailey gets one good defense out of her. And then, if she eventually loses to Charlotte, that's fine. But I would like for her to beat her once.
Speaking of women that I love in WWE, by the way, I want to mention this. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose put out a video today talking about their new, I think it's just their new social media or their new YouTube page or something for Demandy's Donuts. Mm-hmm. They have their own thing now, and it's their 50th episode, so congratulations to them. I legitimately love that show because it's just Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville eating donuts. It's them in their car eating donuts, and it's just, they're so funny. I love them.
Shout out to Up Up Down Down. They finished their GM mode.
Who won?
You'll have to go and watch it. I'll tell you after the show. I don't want to spoil it for someone who hasn't seen it yet.
Thank you.
It was last week, but it was an amazing series. It's a lot of fun. They did the WrestleMania episode last week, so I'm excited to see what the punishment will be. I don't know when that's going to be. And also, once he hits 2 million subscribers, which he's close to, Triple H will be on. So
they already aired the Rousey episode, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
which, by the way, should we mention that?
She almost lost her finger
filming a TV show, wasn't it?
I actually did mean to add that, and I forgot.
Yeah, she posted a picture of it. Like, I didn't look at the picture because it had a giant bar over it, and it said graphic.
Yeah.
But apparently she got effed up pretty bad.
Yeah, she almost lost her finger. So
best wishes to her.
Yeah, no joke. Other stuff on SmackDown. Kofi and Orton had a really good segment. Kofi snuck up behind Orton and attacked him after Orton ran his mouth and bragged about taking out Woods and all of that. It's good to see Kofi with this fire.
Yeah, a little seriousness to it, not just smiling Kofi.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So just laid into him with a chair and the Revival as well. So I really like that because it's going to be Revival versus New Day for the titles at Clash of Champions. More Owens-Shane nonsense happened. Owens had to stop himself from attacking Shane. Like, so Elias beat Owens. Was that a King of the Ring?
Yes.
So they had 3 on SmackDown.
Also, it's important to note that at the beginning of the show, Kevin talked to Shane and basically said, look, as a father to father, the $100,000 thing,
that's nothing to you, but to my family,
it hurts.
Yeah.
And Shane agreed and said, okay, don't touch any other.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, I'll consider it. And later on, he said, it's fine. Don't touch any more officials.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost looked, and you know something was going to happen, but it did a good job of convincing me that maybe there was, I don't know, it was a good smokescreen.
Yeah, and then
the payoff wasn't as good, but
the payoff was, oh, Shane revealed he was an official during that match, so Owens couldn't hurt him, and is more just McMahon family drama, and I'm done with it.
Kevin Owens is not the new Stone Cold.
And it bums me out because I love Kevin Owens. Shane, for as much as I don't want him to be playing this role,
does it well.
He's kind of shut me up in the sense that it's like I am always sports entertained from his matches and what he does.
Because you don't go into a Shane McMahon feud or match thinking, oh, this is going to be
like a 5-star classic.
This isn't going to be AJ Styles versus Ricochet.
But it's fun. Yeah.
That's the important thing.
Then probably my favorite thing from SmackDown was the Miz TV where Sami Zayn came out and talked about how his role in WWE needs to change, and he's one of the best wrestlers on the planet, but he's losing week after week after week, and eventually brings out Shinsuke Nakamura. And so now they're a unit where Zayn is going to be the mouthpiece for Nakamura, and they just beat the shit out of The Miz.
Which is sad if Sammy is not going to wrestle for the time being, because he is really good.
Yeah, I don't want him to not wrestle, and at the same time, Nakamura also doesn't need a mouthpiece.
But it wouldn't hurt.
But this pairing is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see where that goes.
I agree.
At the same time, though, also kind of bummed that it looks like they're just dropping the Ali Nakamura story that they've been...
Boy, they have a habit of doing that, don't they?
Sure do. Was there anything else from SmackDown you wanted to...
No, those are the major things I wanted to hit on, mostly Demandy's donuts.
Okay. Then on Impact, RVD, Rich Swann, and Willie Mack beat the Rascals in a fun match. Like, the Rascals all just kind of were, like, super excited that Stoner Buddy RVD was out there. Ace Austin and the Eddie Edwards, Ashley Edwards, or no, that's not her name. I'm blanking on his wife's name now. That storyline BS of, oh, no, we're just friends, but he put his dick in a box and it's...
His dick in a box?
Yeah, it's just, it's dumb.
No, wait, you're being serious?
Yeah, he did the dick in the box bit. Not this past Friday, but the week before that. But we're just friends. But Eddie hates him, and Eddie doesn't really have a character right now. Like, this is the low point of Impact, which is saying something.
This is not the thing that you want us to watch.
Yeah, this isn't the part that I'm excited for everybody to watch. The Deaners beat the Desi Hit Squad in a really, really good tag team match. We got Rosemary saved Jordan Grace and Alexa Nicole from Kira Hogan and Madison Rain. From a beatdown, so she kind of came out of nowhere. There was a really cool...
By the way, much love to Jordan Grace, not for all the bullshit, but for her teacher initiative and everything, too.
Yeah, that's super cool.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah. They did some cool stuff teasing a Jessica Havoc, Sue Young feud, including a really cool, like, cinematic thing for Sue Young. But the big thing was Tessa Blanchard and Tommy Dreamer beat OVE in a tag team match. So again, Impact is good. Not enough people are watching it, and I want to give credit where it's due. There,
we talked about it on last show.
But also, like, same thing, like 205 Live and NXT. Like, there's so much wrestling that's out there that, mm-hmm. and MLW, and you know, NWA has a show coming up, and
it's only gonna get bigger. I wish I was born in a different era, because if I was young, like in my teens or early 20s. At this time period, I would be so happy to have so much wrestling. Mm-hmm. But as I am now at 64, I can't enjoy wrestling as much as I used to. So it's kind of
Mr. 164 is a t-shirt. I want, like, that's your homework.
Mr. 100.
Like Shannon Young 64, but like Nintendo 64. Like, I want, like, that's a logo somewhere.
I can't wait for a couple more years when I'm actually 64. In 3 or 4 years, I'm going to have a t-shirt ready to go. Last thing tonight, we got CCW Homecoming 4 Cage Chaos this weekend at the AC Brazzi Arena, of course. And it's a fantastic card. And I'm not just saying that because I got an ace up my sleeve. Wink!
Son of a bitch.
Let's go over that card
real
quick.
Son of a bitch.
This is Homecoming 4. Last year at Homecoming was a huge, huge moment. Because I think it was last year when Austin Lane slapped Dalton Anthony, wasn't it? Because it was Homecoming he did, and then it was Best of the Best where they had their match, right?
Yes, because he was suspended from Best in the Best.
Because he slapped
Dalton. Because he slapped Dalton, yeah.
So, I know, and I'm not joking, think about all of the major events that have happened because of that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got into it, House 100 formed, Jake Durden stole the title, Jackson rebelled. I guess, like, so much has happened because of this. And I can say, without hyperbole, that this Saturday is going to be as epic. It's going to be amazing. It's the biggest night in our sport, hands down. Let's go over the card real quick. It did get a little bit changed from previous cards you may have seen. We got SB and Dexter going against Venom. That's our old friend Courtney Arnold. Good to see him back at CCW.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nephilim, Damone Salavino. That originally was a 6-man tag. Unfortunately, Justin could not make it.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been switched to a tag team match. But that match looks incredibly good. We know SB and Dexter are great together. I imagine Venom and Damone are going to be good together because they're both incredibly talented on their own.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that one.
Like I said on CCW Live, like, that's one that I really feel like that's one you're going to want to see live.
Don't sleep on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that could end up being match of the night.
Oh, I don't know. I got an ace.
Oh, no. There's a lot of really good stuff. I always hate saying that because, like, I don't mean it to be disrespectful to, like, everybody else on the card, but, like,
when you say this is going to be the best in there, but you think everyone else is thinking, like, oh, so you think I'm bad?
Right. Like, yeah. No, no, it's no. Like, no, it's just like, I, you know, that it's what seems like kind of a random match. Like, I think,
could,
you know,
steal the show.
Yeah, it could end up stealing the show.
We got Baracus, the big man Baracus, who is a personal favorite of ours. Great, great guy. He originally was going to take on the Mad Viking King. The Mad Viking King. I put the whole title on there. Matthias. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Matthias not able to make it. So he has been replaced by, rest in peace, Chris Slammer.
R.I.P. I liked when he's like, get that award ready. Yeah. in the chat.
I love Slammer. I think we all love Slammer.
Yeah.
He is just incredibly nice, and I'm glad he's getting opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
He's also really over with the crowd. The crowd loves him. This someone said, I think it was Caleb Carter, said this could be like a modern day Hogan versus King Kong Bundy. And that's not a bad analogy, you know, except for the fact that I didn't think Bundy was going to murder Hulk Hogan. And I really fear for Chris Slammer's life. Good luck, Chris. We got Brandon Barbed Wire versus Joey O'Reilly. Brandon was on CCW Live earlier, and the amount of urine we had to clean up from the fear.
Legit intensity.
Yeah,
that, I love Brandon, and he's always been very, very sweet to us and very, very kind to us and open to working with us.
Well, as soon as he walked off, he walked over and high-fived me.
Yeah. But like anytime he is so good at just like turning on that intensity in a way that not many people can.
Nobody can.
And that promo is one of the best promos anyone has cut at CCW this year.
Agreed.
And it was just
it was the Miz on Talking Smack. Yeah,
and it was off the cuff. It was on the fly. We talked to him beforehand, and it's just he's so good.
He sold me on that match.
Exactly. And it's just I was already excited to see that match because I'm a fan of Joey and Brandon both. So I'm excited to see them work together. But now, holy shit. Yeah.
Context.
Now I want to see this fight. Now, right. I'm sold on it. I'm into it.
The way Brandon sold the match of he came back, he thought this was the best chance for him to get into the good graces again was to automatically get the title. Mm-hmm. And then Joey betrayed him. Okay, this is my chance now. Joey got himself hurt. Now he got robbed of that. He got an opportunity. Joey robbed him of that. He made the match make so much sense.
He made it feel personal.
Yeah. So damn, that's why I say we were talking earlier about transitioning into a wrestling role from managing that I do now. And I said, I know I'll never be, I think I said, I'll never be a Justin Smart. I'll never be an Austin Lane. I'll never be a Brandon. And he said, you mean Espy? And I was like, no, I mean you. He's like, why would you mean me? Like, cause you're really good at this.
Right.
Like, why would you doubt yourself, man? You're incredible. For the Pure Openweight Championship, this is going to be a fun one. Hollis Giroux versus Billy Hills. They've worked together before many times. They always put on a good show. Hollis and Billy are two of the most – they're not underrated because everyone knows how good they are. Mm-hmm. But they're like – you can put them in the opening match or the main event or anywhere else, and they'll make whatever it is work. They're consistently great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can't wait for that one. This one, I truly am afraid for the Hustlers because we love Bradley and Lamont. They're so – nice-ish. Although they do like to crotch shot Dalton, which I'm a fan of. That's fun for me. The Hustlers going up against the original LAX, Homicide and Hernandez. And I don't know how many times I can hear people in management talk about which one's going to take the border toss into the cage.
Right.
I'm itchy.
I'm super excited for this. I'm very excited to be able to see the OGs, the LAX live.
And again, it's one of those things.
And not only get to see it, but I get to call an LAX match. Well, that's super cool.
You said the other day, I forget which match it was. I think it was the NWA title match.
Yeah.
That you were like, I got to call an NWA title match. Now you get to call an LAX match. Mm-hmm. Like, how batshit crazy is this from where we started?
Right.
You know, and we've been doing it for so long now that we don't stop to think, oh my God, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. But it's incredible. That match is going to be great. And then the main event is going to be Jackson Crowley versus my mystery challenger. And I can't wait for the moment.
Yeah.
I can't say too much because it is a pretty big surprise. But
who'd you say it was?
I said it on live last week, didn't I?
No, you said you were going to say it now.
Off the show. Okay, I'll say off the show.
Sweet.
It's going to be really good. This match is going to blow you away. The surprise is going to blow you away. I put out a video today that I am a little hesitant about, but I'm also really proud of because it was a little bit different than the normal videos I do. Halfway through it or towards the end, I changed it over from the robotic fake voice to my actual voice and I cut a promo. I think it worked. And then at the end, I don't know why I was feeling goofy. So I did like a crazy laugh and I distorted it to try to oh, Jackson, I can play these games too. Look, here's me trying to be creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always worried that people are going to be like, that was stupid and you're stupid. But so far, so good. That's going to be a lot of fun. Along with all of this, of course, there's going to be a meet and greet with Hernandez and Homicide.
Yep.
And they're also having a seminar.
Yes.
Which we are trying to get as many people involved with this as possible because this is a great seminar. It's $30. Message Cape Championship Wrestling, right? To get info on
you
that?
It requires a year of in-ring experience.
Yeah.
To sign up. It's $30. And yeah, you can either direct message the Cape Championship Wrestling Facebook page or capechampionshipwrestling@gmail.com to reserve your spot.
And that's something you're definitely going to want to do, because the more you can learn from these incredible athletes and these guys that have traveled the world, the better. And
also, it's not just like, this isn't just a tag team thing. Like if you're a singles wrestler, like these are two very, very experienced, very knowledgeable people who you have an opportunity to learn from.
You're getting two for the price of one, basically.
Yeah, like, and so like if you are a tag team and you want to learn, like I'm sure they will have great advice there. But also, you know, if you're a singles person, it's a great learning opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. That all goes down this Saturday. We also have those special edition 80s style, Friday the 13th style movie posters that I'm really proud of. I loved working on that. I had a lot of fun with it. Those will be available at the door. There's going to be a limited quantity. We are taking pre-orders on our Facebook page, and we will have some at the door just for sale, $10 a piece. I'll give you the dimensions later. It's probably going to be the same size as our other posters. I forget, what was that?
Like 11 by 14.
11 by 14, but I'm going to try to make this one a little bigger because of the movie thing. I'll find out tomorrow. What's tomorrow, Thursday?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Friday, we'll know for sure. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. This weekend's going to be a great, great show. Make sure you come out and see us. Cape Championship Wrestling at the AC Brazier Arena. Bell time is at 7. Doors open at 6. Going to be a lot of great vendors there. Gaming Grounds will be there again. Cakes Reanimated is going to be there. That's going to be a lot of fun. Sugar Fire is going to be there. We got some great sponsors, F&M Memorabilia. So yeah, great show all around. We can't wait to see you guys once again. And that's going to do it for us here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted tonight. Asa, take us away.
Give us a like on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Also, follow us on Twitter.com/Podzilla1985. The last couple days, I've kind of made a push to really keep that more active. And I know I've said that so many times before.
It's easy to fall off.
But it's something that, like, I think I've picked up some things. Like, I went and just followed, like, a bunch of people just to kind of get our name out there as well. And I'm not going to do the thing that, you know, some people do where they follow a bunch of people, wait to see who follows back, and then, unfollow. I'm like, that's
people do
stupid.
That to me all the time when I first jumped in there, and now I don't – when people add me, I'll follow. Mm-hmm. Unless I know them, I don't follow them back.
Yeah.
I wait a couple days, and then I check again.
Yeah. I'm trying to do stuff like that. I'm trying to post, like, you know, I'll post the episodes. I'll post, you know, news stories, things like that. Like, something that, you know, might be relevant, because I would like to get some engagement. Again, I don't know who you people are that are listening, but I love you. And I would love to hear from you, even if you think like my opinion on like NXT moving is wrong. Tell me about it. If you listened to last night's show, one, thank you. Two, you know, don't threaten to kill my family.
Please.
But just like, you know, explain like why do you think, what do you think? Do you think NXT versus AEW is going to look like?
Let me know why you want to kill my family. And also, I got some bad news for you.
So twitter.com/Podzilla1985, Podzilla1985.com. Of course, you can go and listen to last night's episode. Shannon and I had a one-on-one talk about the Spider-Man news,
GameStop,
Respawn. Entertainment being in trouble.
Yeah, I really liked that episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So go check that out. Any of the other episodes as well. And then, of course, if the best way to support us, honestly, is to share the episodes, share the podcast, talk to your friends about us. You know, give us a like, follow us on even on platforms you don't use for podcasting. Even just that subscription helps with algorithms and placements and gets us in even more. I know words are hard. Shut up. Leave me alone.
Hey,
Dalton's not here. I don't want to be the Dalton. that helps us out a lot. But if you have a dollar, you can go to patreon.com/podzilla1985. $1 a month, it seems like it's nothing, and it seems like it's not even worth it, but I can assure you it is, and every little bit helps. And also, for that $1, you get all of our pre-shows. You know, we put out 4 shows a week. That is 4 pre-shows a week that you get access to. And, you know, they're usually 10 to 30 minutes, depending on who's hosting.
And honestly, they're better than any of those.
They can be, because they're not topic specific. They're just, you know, free form. We're just kind of BSing, goofing off. And
usually.
It tends to be a lot of fun. So, but yeah, patreon.com/Podzilla1985. Like I said, that's just a dollar. And, but of course, like the biggest thing is, you know, sharing with your friends and talking and, you know, things like that.
Sharing. It's a rule now. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow for After Dark. It'll be a lot of fun. Until then, take care of yourselves. And, yeah. Allie, take us out.
Bye.